and will show you that the idea is the truth. So I'll say it again, you don't have to believe it, you don't have to welcome it, you don't have to accept it. Some of it you might resist, some of it you might find hard to believe, but if you use it, you see that it works. If you analyze it, you just confuse and disorient yourself. So as those who analyze the course know, if you try to take the course and fit it into the thought system that we learn from the world, it will not fit. If the world has its own complete thought system based on separation, based on the idea that we're different, based on the idea that we're just bodies, that we're apart from each other, and that we're in competition with each other, and there's not enough, and we got to try to get our little piece of the rock. And we can have some special love that people give to you as long as you act right. Right? So we get a chance to have what I call, the course called the special love relationship, the most unreal of all. Because it's based on a bargain that you make with another person that you'll be there for them as long as you behave and act in a certain way. If Spirit, our Creator, took that same attitude toward us, we'd be completely up the creek. You know what I'm saying? If our Creator took the same attitude, as soon as we did something that we said we were not going to do, as soon as we didn't do something the way it wanted us to do it, then it would completely cut off our support, our life force energy, which sustains us, right? So you can tell when God is pissed at you, you'll probably just drop on the spot. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So far you're on good terms. It doesn't mean that those who drop their bodies necessarily upset the Creator. It just means that they weren't ready to go to another level of expression and growth in who they are. Just like, you know, it's like a snake sheds the skin, or a caterpillar, you know, sheds the shell before it becomes a butterfly. You see the shell, you'll say it's dead, but somebody that's aware, no, it turned into a butterfly and it flew away, and it doesn't look anything the way it did when it was a caterpillar. So what you're going to end up being and what you're going to end up looking like is nothing like what you think you look like now. You know, this is the playground that we came to practice our creativity and to learn how to express ourselves, our true authentic selves, not the selves that we were made up to be. And you can tell when you're being the self that you were made up to be, because if you're being the self that's not yourself, your life is a struggle in some way. You're trying to act out somebody else's script and not yours. When you're in touch with your true path, your divine self, your real self, it's easy to tell. Life will flow. Love will flow. Being taken care of will flow. You know what I mean? I mean, let's face it, most of the birds and most of the animals, they're not hitting a time clock. You know, the ones who are truly free, they're being provided for through the expression of themselves, just being. So you got to let go of this idea that the universe can't support you unless you obey the rules that man made up. Yeah. I'll say it again. You got to let go of the idea that you cannot be sustained unless you obey the rules that man made up. And you can tell the rules that man made up because they vary from culture to culture, group to group, person to person. But those universal laws that are beyond our ego self, I don't care if you're black, white, young, old, if you jump off this church, you're not going to fall up. Every one of you all peed this morning. So you need to real bad right now. But the point that I'm making is that we can have a universal experience, but a universal theology and belief system will not work. And as long as we keep trying to do it that way, we're going to just stay separate from each other. You'll never get everybody to believe the same thing in the same way at the same time. But what you can do is be who you really are and let that attract to you those who share your purpose and those who are like you and those who want what you want. Then you all move really fast because all of you have the same goal, the same purpose, and the same desire. And so you can overcome any obstacles that come up between you because your common goal that you both want will always pull you through the obstacles that present themselves in your life. If you can't get past the obstacle, you don't really want the goal. You can't get past the obstacle, you don't really want to go. Because you are an unlimited, creative being who creates your reality through your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs, conscious and subconscious. And your life is a reflection of what you've magnetized to yourself based on your own programming and your own consciousness. That means there is nothing that you're going through that cannot be changed. That means there is nothing that you're going through that can't be changed for the better. That means that there's nothing that you're going through that can't be changed for the better. That means that there's nothing that you're going through that can't be changed for the better. Nothing that you're going through that can't be changed for the better. There is nothing that is happening to you in your life that's not for your own best interest. There is nothing going on in your life right now that is not helpful to you. There is nothing that you're experiencing right now that's not a gift to get you out of pain forever. And when you see it that way, it'll become that way. When you see it that way, it will become that way to you. Has your childhood happened? Yeah, a whole lot more than my childhood happened. Let me tell you about me. And did it occur? It's over. It's done, right? Okay, so you got two choices about it. You can either see it as a limitation to the expression of who you are right now, or you can see it as something that made you strong enough to be sitting here right now, wanting a better life right now, wanting to love yourself more right now. That's up to you. So if you go, I declare and I claim right now that my past life, my past and my childhood served a useful purpose and it was helpful for me so much that you have to deal with now with what happened to you when you was a child so that you can't enjoy yourself right now. Because if what happened to you as a child somehow woke you up, made you more aware of who you are, then no matter what that was, at some level it served you in a positive way. I don't care how dastardly it seemed like it was. You trying to tell me if I went through some kind of sexual abuse when I was a child, that benefited me? Yes. Why should you look at it that way? I'm mad. How would you mean? How can I look at that way? Did it happen? Yeah. Well, you got two choices. You can either look at it like somehow or another there was a lesson that came out of that, some kind of awareness that came out of that, some kind of power that came out of that for you, or you continue to look at it as if it's limiting you, and if you look at it as if it's limiting you, then that's what it will be for you, and you continue to create limitations around what happened to you, and you will attract relationships that reflect that kind of dysfunction into your experience. You know what I'm saying? So I know what happened. There's no justification for anything that was fearful or painful, but you've got to make a choice today about your life. That you, with everything you've gone through, you could go, you know what? I don't understand how. I don't always feel like it was that way, but I'm claiming that it's all good. I'm claiming that it benefited me some kind of way. I'm claiming that it's no longer going to limit my life right now. Because the way you recreate the same old stuff over and over again, the Course teaches, is that you take your present moment and you interpret it in terms of what happened to you in the past, and then you project that into the future and relive it again. You take your present moment, you think about what you went through in the past, and say you had a relationship that was just ridiculously pitiful. Nobody in their right mind should even have been in it. And you weren't. That's why you weren't in it, because you weren't in your right mind. So that makes you afraid of relationship. That makes you afraid of intimacy. So in this now moment, if you're free of the relationship from the past, you are now thinking about that relationship when you meet somebody right now, and then you recreate the same experience with them or somebody else that you went through in the past, because you're using the power of the present, which is where all your power is located, is in the present. It's nowhere else. But if you're going to do something, you got to do it now. If I'm going to say I appreciate you, I'm going to have to say it now. If I'm going to let these words come out of me, I'm going to have to let it come out now. If I'm going to practice the truth, I've got to practice it now. Because now is the only time there is. 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 And when do spiritual cats want it? Meow. I said one more time. When do spiritual cats want it? Meow. How do you come into your body in a cool way? You come into your body where your power is located in a cool way through joy. You come into your body in a way that's not so pleasant when you do it through judgment, criticism, depression, anger, and pain. So we can be coming to our bodies and out of our head right now by allowing the joy and the feeling to come through, or we can come into our bodies because we're upset about something the way we usually do it. So I like to do it through the joy. So I just act any way that I feel like acting because I'm learning how to be myself. And I decided the best time to practice being myself was around a group of people who saw my value and who cared about me and who wanted me to have a safe life. Like, if I'm going to reveal Earl Purdy, then I'm going to reveal him to you. And it's scary because I always could, like, trigger somebody's stuff and then they project on me their own unhealed thoughts. Now, if you got unhealed sexual thoughts, if I make any kind of comment that can be perceived as sexual, then you're all offended because you feel guilty about your own sexual past. If I talk about prosperity and abundance and you get uncomfortable, then that's because of your own fear of wealth and abundance. So you can tell where you're really coming from by how you feel and how you react to the now moment. That gets you in touch with who you really think you are as opposed to what you say you're about. Because we can fool ourselves about what we say we're about. We can say we're the nicest, kindest, coolest, most forgiving people in the world. But if I'm feeling unhappy most of the day, angry most of the day, depressed most of the day, then I'm lying to myself. That's not how I feel about myself at all. Because my feelings are how I feel about myself. Your feelings are so powerful. Your feelings can create things that, once you get a feeling about an idea or thought, then you know it's on the way to physical manifestation, because first you have to conceive of it, then you have to repeat it to yourself over and over again until you begin to accept it as true. You know you're accepting it as true when you begin to feel it when you say it, and after you feel it, you're guaranteed to get a physical demonstration or manifestation of the thing, because that's how the manifestation process works. So for you to say a lot of stuff that you don't have no feeling about, your heart isn't into, it doesn't excite you, that's not going to really happen. It has no juice behind it. I really want a real relationship. I really want to have friends. I really want to connect with people. People say stuff like that. I want to know people who share my purpose. And then there'd be in a room full of people like that and not even say hello. I'm always alone. Nobody's on my path with me. I'm always alone. Nobody's on my path with me. I'm always alone. It's because your eyes closed. And when was the last time you asked a blind person to go out? So when you recognize someone is unaware and you are a person who is becoming aware, you don't ask for their phone number. You don't ask for them, you don't ask to go out on a date with them. You bless them and you send energy to them. You say, let peace extend from my mind to yours. Let prosperity extend from my mind to yours. Let power extend from my mind to yours. But we don't need to go out. But if you still have some guilt and some fear around relationships, you're going to be attracted to the worst person to enter into a relationship with, so that you can feel justified in your fear of intimacy. Because if someone actually showed up that was trustworthy, then you have to step up and really be what you say you're about. It's a lot easier sometimes to pretend you want something, but it just doesn't show up. Because if it shows up, then you got to step up. You know, if I say I really want a really open, loving person that's giving and ready to deal with me as who I am, and they really show up and I don't love myself, I'm going to sabotage the relationship. If I believe I'm not lovable and I don't really deserve love and I don't deserve to have what I want, I'm going to be attracted to the worst person for me. And the person that's cool, I'll just say, fine, that's okay. They're pretty cool. You know, but I have this rrr for the fool. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the rrr for the fool? You know, the one that gives you the hardest time of all, and you just get around and rrr. That's because they're resonating with what you believe about yourself the most. But as you begin to wake up and love yourself and learn the truth and realize there's nothing to fear and the universe is based on love and you are not alone, you get as turned on by the same people as you used to get turned on by the insane people. And the insane people of fear will not attract you because you no longer want to be afraid. Enthusiasm creates. I really want to be prosperous.
I really want people to invite me out. I don't want to say when people are inviting me out. They're looking at you. I hate to tell you this, but people are looking at you. And if you're sitting up there and there's nothing inviting about you or your personality, why should they walk up to you and say hi unless they're just so conscious they know you got to call for love to even look that sad, and they're coming up to just extend some love to you? But most people avoid people who don't look like they'd be fun to get to know. Okay, so you know, I'd be like, what do you think works best sincerely? This. Or which works sincerely? See the difference? A smile disarms people. Even if they think they're mad at you, if you smile sincerely, they're going to be confused. So when you say a truth, you allow it to manifest, because there's nothing more powerful than the spoken word. So what you say has a tendency to manifest if you say it. The reason why the negative appears to manifest more than the positive is because people will share their negative, fearful thoughts faster than they will their loving, trustful thoughts. Don't you agree? Most of the time people tell you what they're upset about. They don't tell you about what they're grateful for. Okay? So what we want to do is know that power. No, we don't have to believe in it yet, because belief isn't necessary for the truth. Belief isn't necessary for the truth. What? Belief isn't necessary. You know why? Because if it's the truth, it's true whether you believe it or not. If you, thank God we don't live in a reality where the truth becomes what we believe. Thank God there's a truth behind what we believe. I'm so glad I don't know what to do. But that doesn't mean you don't perceive what you believe. All right? So you got to start claiming the lie and seeing what the lie is and separating it from the truth completely. You have to be the one that go, I'm seeing that as the lie about me. You have to do it. And since we already been programmed not to want people to lie to us, haven't we? Mm-hmm. So people say, oh, you just don't lie to me. You can do it. Don't you dare lie. So the mind's already been programmed not to want to lie, right? So if you think somebody's lying to you, you automatically back off from that, right? Well, start calling the criticism a lie. Start calling the fear, the depression, the lack, the lie. Start calling the depressing thoughts that don't empower you the lie. Why don't you start calling the limitations thoughts the lie? Because your mind has already been programmed to see a lie as something you don't want. So your own programming all your life will work automatically to help you release your fear. You just got to start calling it a lie. And then your mind goes, lie? Oh, well, we don't want to believe that, do we? You know, the mind gets together. What y'all think, fellas? Well, you know, no, we don't. I don't think we're going to go along with lies. We don't like lies. So if I tell you you don't deserve to be happy, it's a lie. If I tell you that you're not a powerful being, it's a lie. If I tell you that you're not loved by something greater than yourself, it's a lie. If I tell you you're no good, you don't deserve to be happy, you selfish, you scum, it's a lie. If I tell you that you only deserve lack, it's a lie. You got to take a stand. Are you love or are you fear? Mm-hmm. Are you strength or are you weakness? Are you spirit or are you just a body that dies after a certain number of years of feeling guilt? You take which one? The first. All right. Lady on the board. You want to go with claiming that you are love. Now, can we admit that we may not always be aware of it? Can we admit that we may not always be aware of it? Can we admit that we might not always be aware of it? But our unawareness of it doesn't affect the truth of it. So if you want to go to another level of consciousness fast, just remind yourself all the time that what you believe about yourself may not be true. Especially if it's loving. Also, if you want to move really fast, tell yourself, I'm willing to have an answer and a solution that I didn't make up. I'm willing to have an answer and a solution in this situation that I did not make up.
See, what that does is it takes away the limited idea that you got to be the one that comes up with the answer and you got to be the one that heals the situation. And you already know you can, and you wouldn't still be dealing with the pattern after 20 years. So you want to say, I want an answer greater than the one I've been able to come up with. I want an answer that's righter than the one that I've been able to come up with. I want an answer beyond what I can do on my own. That's what you do to open yourself up to instantaneous healing, whether you think you're mentally prepared or not. Your creator wouldn't be so cruel as to make your healing dependent on how you feel about yourself. So there is nothing to fear. We're going to say it for a couple of minutes. You ready? Okay, for a couple of minutes. My body is a communication device. Paul says my body is a communication device, that I'm supposed to use my body to communicate the truth in all kinds of juicy ways. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear.
You are innocent and juicy and sweet.
One more time. You
know what you just did.
What did we do?
You put the thought out that's going to manifest.
Yeah.
Because first you took the idea, you repeated the idea, you didn't necessarily have to believe the idea, you felt the idea, and you did something physical as a symbolic gesture to show that you had faith in what you said you wanted. That's the key. Conceive it, repeat it, feel it, do something symbolic to show your willingness to have it, and then receive it and accept it when it comes as your divine right. You know, like when somebody tells me something cool about me, I try to remember to say, thank you for your correct perception. Yes, it's got to be a correct perception if you seeing me as cool. So thank you. Even if I don't see me as cool, I'm glad you seeing me as cool. So I got a little something I want to say today. It's on page 30. I want to say one more time how to get rid of fear once and for all.
Page 30 where?
Actually, we're going to start at the bottom of page 29.
In the text?
In the text. And I've been, you know, and it's like some of the stuff in the Course in Miracles, I've been teaching the Course in Miracles since, actually, January of 1981.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to get over the guilt that I made in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, brother.
And the way I got over the guilt that I thought I felt in the 80s and the 90s was to realize it was for my own best interest and that it served me.
Thank you.
That everything I've experienced in the past, and really the truth that the only thing I'm really feeling I make myself feel guilty about is just looking at it from the eyes of what I learned from my past. What I learned from guilty minds that were teaching me who I was. I find that I was made to feel guilty about nothing. You know, rules that were made up by people who were guilty that I was told I should live by. That didn't even make them happy. But then they're telling me what I should do to be happy. You ever seen that? The most bitter person you could ever imagine trying to tell you what you need to do. Or the person that sees themselves as most lacking broke trying to tell you how to have prosperity. That would only work if they were pointing to somebody who has it and telling you how they did it. You know what I'm saying? So right now, I'll tell you what you do. Whenever you're feeling fear, it's always a sign of strain, and that strain comes from what you want in conflicting with what you're doing. Now, you can do conflicting things at the same time where you're doing a lot of things you don't want to do at the same time, or you're doing one thing that you don't want to do one time after another. So if your whole day is doing stuff that you don't want to do all day with people you don't want to do it with, you're making yourself afraid all day. Now, don't get depressed when I point out a lot of this stuff, because one of the stages of moving to where you want to be is realizing where you are and seeing how where you are is totally inappropriate to where you want to be. But that's the stage that many people stop because they can't take looking at where they are. So I say that again. If you really want to move to this next level, to this new life, this new experience, you must realize that you can't blame or judge where you are right now, because where you are right now is just a reflection of your using ideas that you no longer are choosing to use. So the truth is, if you look at it correctly, where you are right now, no matter where you are right now, could be proof of your power to create. You just don't like what you created. Okay? And what's cool about it's the difference between creating something and making something. If you create something, then you're extending what already is, and it applies to everything all the time equally, like love. If it's real love, then love loves all of us, and it loves all of us equally, and applies to all of us equally. If it's made love, then it's only specifically directed toward certain individuals. If it's made, it has no true generalizability. If it's made, then it's not something you can use in every situation. If it's created, it's something you can use in any situation, in all situations with everybody. That's how you can tell the difference between something created and something made.
That's why things of this world do not last, is because none of it's created. It's all made. So you can use what you've made to take you to what's created. You can use what you've made to take you to abundance. You can use what you've made to take you to loving relationships. You can use what you've made to take you to peace. You can use what you've made to take you to freedom. You can take everything that you used to use to imprison yourself, and it can now be used to free you. Everything in your life that you've ever used to imprison yourself in any way can now be used to free you, which means you don't have to be in conflict with your present situation to bring about a healing. You don't have to go, well, as soon as I change this, then I can have my healing. Because then you're saying that there's something about who you are right now that's not okay and useful and powerful for you. So you got to, the quick way is to use what you already have. The slow way is to always wait for something that doesn't exist yet to show up. That's what a person does when they're afraid to have what they want. People who live in the future are afraid to have their happiness now. People who live in the future are afraid to have what they want now. People who live in the future are afraid to have what they want now. People who always think about later, 2 years from now, 6 months from now, are the people who are afraid to have their blessings right now. Because nothing that is real do you have to wait for. Think about that. This book is making little statements like this. It kind of like smack you, you know, it's like, what? Nothing that is real you have to wait for. If it's real, you can have it now. This, in a sense, is real right now because we're having it right now. So if there's something I'm going to receive from you, what better time to receive it now? I want this pen. Wouldn't it be easier for her to pass it to me now? Because this is the only time there is. If I said, I would like her to give me a pen an hour from now, that would be a problem because I don't even know where she is. And if I'm following her, she'll say I'm a stalker. But in the class, she'll give me a big smile. I got an apartment tonight, she'd say 911. There's a black guy. All the oneness will be gone, you know what I'm saying? When I love you, I see you as me. When I'm afraid of you, you become different. When I love you, all I see is myself. Something about me, something I feel like connecting to, something I can identify. When I'm afraid of you, all I see is our differences. Lord have mercy. So when you're doing one thing after another that you really don't want to do, it produces conflicted behavior because the part of your mind that wants to do something other than what you're doing is outraged. So if you're doing what you don't want to do all day, there's a part of your mind that's outraged, and right below the surface you're really upset. Okay, the second thing a person does to create fear is, the course says, bottom of the page, you can behave as you think you should, but without entirely wanting to do it. You're constantly behaving the way you think you should, but you don't really want to do it. You're acting like you think you should, but you don't really want to do it. You're saying what you think you should, but you don't really want to do it. You're doing stuff all day where you're thinking one way and acting another way. He says, that causes great strain. So the person that goes, I just feel like I'm under such a strain, they could as easily say, I am constantly behaving as I think I should without really wanting to today. How you feeling, Earl? I'm constantly behaving the way I think I should without wanting to today. What else are you doing? I'm also doing one thing after another that I don't really want to do. And how do you know? Because I feel strain and fear. Woo, that's deep. Ain't that deep? So that means your mind and your behavior are out of accord. What you're thinking and how you're behaving are out of accord. That's page 30. And then it says, this results in a situation in which you're doing what you don't really want to do. So you don't want to do what you don't really want to do. So even if right now there are some things you don't want to do, but you know you're doing this, don't stop doing it. There's a man that goes now, oh, I just have to just stop doing what I don't want to do. You know, it's like, well, for your case, that might mean walking out of your mate tonight and quitting your job tomorrow. Yeah. You walk out of here ready to make that decision without having really gotten to the point that you've centered yourself and got in touch with who you really are and changed your thought system, and then you just reproduce the same thing somewhere else. And I'm not saying it's not okay to leave one situation and give yourself a fresh start. Sometimes your perception of people can be so fixed that you simply have to separate to heal from them because you know you just can't think differently about them. So I wouldn't suggest sticking in a situation that you know you can't change your mind about. But if you're in a situation that you know you can change your mind about, then go ahead and stay in that situation and change your mind about it and have it that way. But you know how you feel about that from the very beginning. I counsel couples sometimes. And the most depressing thing you can say to a couple that's really had it with each other is that there's a way for them to be together. Yeah.
vegetables and bagels, and you would think that you tell a couple, you know, look here, I got the solution. I see it. I know exactly what I can tell you. It would allow y'all to have peace with each other. You watch them. Yeah. Oh. They were counting on you. They said it was hopeless and they need to get out of each other's life as fast as possible. They were hoping even the counselor couldn't help them. And then they could really feel good. You know, we gave them a good shot. They said, yeah, I don't need to be the counselor. You know, both of y'all want to get away from each other. You know what I'm saying? So you get a chance to feel all good and justified. You know, it really is as hopeless as I thought it was. Yes, isn't it? Let's go. But if you say to somebody that there's a way for them to have something that they're pretending that they want, when you tell a person that there's a way to have something that they're pretending that they want, they never get excited about the solution that you're giving them. I can tell that in the class. When I say to the class, you can have really real freedom and you can have a real relationship and you can really feel innocent and you can get in touch with your creative power and get in touch with your power and use your power, and they get more and more depressed. They're afraid of their power. They're afraid of who they are. They don't want to hear that they can have something that they think hurts them all the time. And if you think you hurt yourself all the time, why would you want to find yourself? Because if you found yourself and you didn't like yourself, you'd mistreat yourself. So yourself is hiding from you. You say, I'm trying to find myself. I know yourself kind of hope you never do.
This is myself. Where's Earl? Don't let him know I'm behind the podium.
I don't want him to find me and tell me he'll love me and treat me right and acknowledge me. I don't want the false Earl to find me, the one that doesn't believe in me, doesn't trust me, that doesn't want the best for me. Why would I want him to find me? So people who don't love themselves and stay in that state of fear and denial and guilt, they don't find themselves, because if they found themselves, they just attack themselves for not being something that they love. Be glad you can't find yourself. But let yourself find you. Let yourself teach you. Stop teaching yourself. And let yourself teach you. Stop teaching yourself. That's why you're in the state you're in now.
Well, I am going to teach myself. I know what's best for me. The shambles of my life. Prove it.
When it comes to winning, I like it for the complete shambles. They'll name one or two spots that's okay. I wash dishes.
Some things I do.
And for some marriages, that's all you have to do, and you have the peace. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's the little things that make all the difference. You know what I mean? You know, you're not getting no loving, wash some dishes. I think I want to
get next to you. You know what I'm saying?
So people freak out like stuff like that. Oh, wow, wasn't it nice that came back and changed my oil?
Thank you for showing the feminine side of yourself.
Hey, I'm getting in touch with my feminine self. I had a period last week. I don't care. Y'all deal with them cramps, man. I'm not going to tell you what a tampon is, but anyway. See, those who have an opinion about what I'm supposed to say and what I'm not supposed to say, see, they're offended. They're like, oh, why can't you say period in class? I've never heard anybody say period in church. And you are. You're in a period of awakening. You're in a period of enlightenment. You know, sometimes you get the cramps. Experience the cramps. You know what I'm saying? So you forgive yourself when you do. Because you know when them hormones hit, you go crazy, right? And that's what's happening to us. The whole world is on its period.
We're here for a mite all.
That's right, we're here for a mite all. And better yet, a miracle doll. You know what I'm saying? I need a miracle doll. You know? And I'm also looking for my miracle dog. You know, black girl looking for my dog out there. You know? You know, where's my dog? Woo! That's what I'm talking about. You know, you can tell. You howl and you see who howl back, and that's the one you ask out. So I'm a howl to the women.
And I'm going to do how's that. You ready? Here we go.
You see how easy that was?
Don't say it's hard to get a date, you just don't howl enough.
When was the last time you howled at a person? See that? See that? Might be something to consider. So therefore, this is the part the court says is really a trip. I tell you, boys, hours pass so fast. That's why I always love doing my advanced mind training, because I at least have 6 hours to at least get through a section. Because each part of this is so powerful. Like I'm doing a advanced mind training workshop the last Saturday this month. I think it's the 26th, from 10 to 3. And it's about creating your new world. And I'm going to go very deep in the parts of these books, this book and other books that are my favorite books, to create, to get a group of people together so we can do the things that create a new reality for us. And that's going to be the end of this month. I limit the enrollment so we can have a certain amount of intimacy. So, you know, if it's something you like to do, it's $50. It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right? If it's something, then you got a prosperity problem. And you need to own it. It's one thing not to come to something because you just choose not to. It's another thing to come to something because you say you don't have the resources to. And it means you're innocent, but you don't know it. It means there's something about you that's beautiful, but you're out of touch with it. And so, if you like to do it, I got a notebook up front you can sign up in, and also if you go ahead and pay and register, that assures you a position in the workshop. What I like about these things is I always believe that whoever shows up is who's supposed to show up. Whether two people show up, or 30 people, or whatever. I always believe that whoever shows up at a class or whoever shows up at a workshop are the ones that were sent by divine mind. And so it gives me a whole different relationship with them. Yeah.
Is there any
howlers? We'll see if we got a bunch of howlers or not. It's hard to speak for future howlers. But, you know, we don't know. But I'm telling you, you want to remember, enthusiasm creates, enthusiasm creates, enthusiasm creates, enthusiasm creates. So start asking for stuff that you have some enthusiasm about and cut out the oughts, the shoulds, and the gotters. As quick as you can, get rid of the oughts, the shoulds, and the gotters. I should do this, I ought to do this, I got to do this, I should do this, I ought to do this, I got to do this, I should do this, I ought to do this, I got to do this, I should do this, I ought to do this, I got to do this. Get rid of that. That doesn't sound like fun. But if you go, I want to do this, I desire to do this, I love to do this, I want to do this, I desire to do this, I love to do this, I want to do this, I desire to do this, I love to do this, woo! Then it shows up. Woo! Like right now, so many things are happening and transforming in my life that I just have to breathe to even just take it in. And then it brings up a lot of my fear and my insanity, because sometimes when that love really comes in, it brings up whatever inside of you that's opposite to that. Mm-hmm. You find it and come up and you go, oh, I didn't even know that was there. Yeah, it couldn't come up until you at the point you could shine the light on it and shine it on away. So now you love yourself enough to let that come up to be released. So don't freak out and think that you are not improving if you seem like you're crazier now than when you started. So if it seems like you've tried to change your life and now everything is in an uproar, that's a sign that you really did do something different. Okay, living the truth is entirely different from talking the truth. Living the truth is different from talking the truth. Living the truth is different from talking the truth. Living the truth is different from when you live the truth, then you're going to see change and disorientation and confusion happen while you're at the beginning stages of change, because you really are doing something different. But if you say you're thinking different and there's nothing about you or your experience that's changing, you're not living the truth. You're just talking it, and you're philosophizing about it, and you're analyzing it, but you're not really doing nothing with it. Now, how can I tell? It becomes a burden. You use it as something to crucify yourself about. You say something to yourself like, I know I need to forgive, but I can't do that. You know, you start being upset with yourself about not living up to your idealized self. That's a person that's not living the truth. Because if you're sitting around berating yourself because you haven't become some great ideal person,
that you think you should be, that's a surefire sign that you are not living the truth. And you're just using what you've learned against yourself instead of using what you've learned to free yourself. If you're using what you've learned to criticize yourself because you're not doing good enough, or you didn't forgive fast enough, or you should never be angry, or you should always feel peaceful, no matter what, you're not living the truth, you're living the lie. But if you can go, Earl, I feel depressed. Earl, I feel angry. Earl, I feel sad. Earl, I feel lonely. Earl, I don't really feel good right now. Earl, I want to look at this differently. And that's honestly the way I feel right now. Now you're living the truth. Because you're telling the truth. It's a little part of the truth that you have to do to be the truth. You have to actually tell the truth. And tell the truth isn't me telling you I don't like the length of your skirt. Or me telling you I don't like the kind of black. That ain't the truth. That don't have nothing to do with the truth. Me telling you the truth is telling you that you are loved and you are innocent and you are powerful no matter what you think about yourself. You are not alone and you have help and guidance no matter what you think about yourself. And you might make mistakes, and that's okay. Mistakes are for loving correction because that's all a child of God deserves. That's telling the truth. Not, I wish you had 10 pounds off your hips.
Me too.
You too. Well, we just howl your hips away. It would be great if you had a new lover. You said, what do you want me to do for happy out there? I said, baby, but you just howl for me. That's a lot cheaper than a brand new car. I'll tell you a little tip. In order to increase the possibility that you'll have something happen and that you'll receive what you want, why don't you ask somebody who wants to do it that can give it to you right now? If you'd like to increase the possibilities of experiencing the joy and the affection and the truth that you want to experience right now, it might come to you faster with the people that's in your life right now that you already feel peace with, and you know there are lots of them, or at least one. So hang out with your witnesses. Hang out with your witness. If it's not the one person in your life that says, you know what? You deserve to be happy, man. That's all I want for you. That's all I want for you. You make sure you communicate with me. You make sure you see me. I am your witness. And that makes me your savior. Because I won't let you forget the stuff about yourself that you need to remember when you go into your fear.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to be your witness, Michael. You've been a great witness for me for years now. Thank you. Well, sometimes I forget how cool and juicy I am.
Yeah.
But you forget sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you forget that you're the finest thing that ever walked the earth.
Yeah.
You know, you need a witness. And you go, can I get a witness? And when you go out to a party, to a club, that's all you say when you bust in the door. Can I get a witness? And you look around the room for your witness. And you call it looking for a date. Or a new mate. No, you're looking for a witness. And when you go out here today, that's what you say. I'm willing to go out to this world and have the witness to my joy, the witness to my abundance, the witness to my peace, the witness to my innocence, the witness to my health, the witness to my love, the witness to my value. I'm willing to walk out of here today and get the witness to what I deserve. Witness back to me. I ask for it. I accept it. I'm willing to have it in my life right now. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know who through it's going to happen, but I'm claiming it. The present is my point of power. 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 The present is my corner of power. Take a breath. So there's about 5 minutes left of this lesson. And before I go on another second, I'm going to do something that's very important to me to do. And that's just to look at you and say thanks. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you,
thank you,
thank you. You don't know how many cool people would still be in my freaking life if I had just looked at them in the face and said,
thank you. I'm grateful for what you say to me. I'm grateful for what you do for me. I'm grateful for everything you've ever shared with me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But you know what I used to do?
I just tell them what they needed to change to be all right.
Yeah. That was my old plan. If you just tweak yourself just over here a little bit, I can give you that love you deserve. If you just change your whole being, then you could be with me. If you just not be who you are, you'd be okay. And then I would wonder why we became separate. The universe loved that person too much to keep them with me. That person loved themselves too much to be with someone constantly saying, if you were different, I'd like you. If you were something other than who you are, then I could nurture you. Woo! I'm so glad I recognize love better than I used to. Because now I listen. I'm listening. I'm always listening. So that people can reveal themselves and I know the best way to deal with them. I thought I want to know is the best way to deal with you, but how can I know it if I don't ever listen to you? So listen. So pay attention to who listens to you and who asks your opinion and who asks your thoughts and who want to know what you feel about stuff instead of always telling you how you feel and telling you what you think and telling you what's best for you. They'd be going, you know, what would you like? What would be the thing you'd like to experience? How can I support you? What is it that you really need right now? Where are you coming from? Because if I'm not asking questions, then it means I think I already know. And if I think I already know, then it means that I've already judged you. And so I'm just dealing with my thoughts about you and not you. Woo! Yeah, woo! You know, so I want to be around people who recognize me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to go out into the world, I'm going to say a prayer for the group. You are here only to be truly helpful. And you've been truly helpful with every human being, your truest self. Make a stand today. Say, it's time for me to be my truest self. You might not know who your true self really is. So I'm going to tell you that you got to be freaky, and you got to be free. Do you want to be free? Now this is what you remind yourself. The Course says freedom is of the mind and not of the body. Freedom is of the mind and not of the body. Guess what? Freedom is of the mind and not of the body. You know why? Because it's not your body that made the decision to come. It's not your body that made the choice to be here. Your body is not making any decisions. It's always your mind that's making the decisions. So if you want to be truly free at a physical level, you have to be free at the mental level. You got to be free in your mind if you want to be free in your body. And how do you become free in your mind? That's a good question. This is how you do it. You remind yourself that you are innocent. You remind yourself that you are sinless and guiltless. You remind yourself that there is nothing to fear. And you remind yourself that you are loving and lovable. Now, you do not have to believe it. You do not have to believe it. You do not have to believe it. I 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 do not have to believe it. If you continue to remind yourself, you just remember that it's already true. You're not trying to put it in you. You're trying to remember that it's already in you. And what's already in you can be easy to get in touch with if you are willing to let go of the blocks to being who you are. Claim it to
yourself. Tell your higher self. Tell your greater self. Tell your spiritual self. Tell your Christ self. Whatever word that works for you, tell yourself. And the past is over, and it can touch me not. Claim it for yourself. My past is over, and it can touch me not. Say it again. My past is over, and it can touch me not. Claim it again. My past is over, and it can touch me not. Now listen to this. How can you not let go of what's already gone? How can you not let go of what's already gone? And you know your past is already over. That's what makes it a past. So how can you not let go of what already is gone? Claim that in this moment that you're not touched by the past because you're not in the past. Claim in this moment that you're not touched by the future because the future hasn't happened. And you're going to claim that you're in your point of power. And you're going to claim that you're ready for a new beginning. I am ready for a new beginning right now. Claim it for yourself, silently or aloud. I am ready for a new beginning right now. I'm 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 ready for a new beginning. Now, you want to manifest it?
Yeah.
Don't forget to... I'm ready for a new beginning. Say what? I'm ready for a new beginning. I'm ready for a new beginning. I'm ready for a new beginning. Say what? I'm ready for a new beginning. I welcome a new beginning. I welcome a new beginning. I welcome a new. I allow a new beginning. 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 We 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 allow a new beginning. Would you acknowledge yourself, Holy Spirit, for showing up, for being in the place? Next Sunday, I'll be speaking part of the love offering. Thank you. Somebody remember that. I'm going to do the love offering right quick, y'all. Thank you for sharing with me and my full-time ministry with the course. This is what I do in the world, and so I trust that those who appreciate it don't mind showing it in a way that keeps me able to continue to do it. Next Sunday at 11 o'clock, I'll be speaking at the 11 o'clock service and also at 1 o'clock. And so this is the minister of the church. This is my buddy, David. Let's show David appreciation for letting me be here. I know. The twin sons are different mothers. That's right. So David has something he wants to say to me. They're tight. And for those of you who really... Right? Which means you're getting a chance to practice at noon on Wednesdays. I have another class, and Thursdays at 7 o'clock. So there are three times a week that I'm willing to be your witness at least. So when you're feeling the most afraid, as well as when you're feeling the most inspired, when you know you want to hear something else about yourself other than what you've been telling yourself, or if you've been telling yourself something beautiful and you want to have that reinforced, then know that that's what I'm here for. I'm real clear about what my purpose is. That makes all the difference in the world. And as soon as you get clear about yours, you watch the universe kick into gear, and all those things that you've been trying to solve will start to correct themselves as if by magic. It just means you're not being yourself yet. You know, and get your spiritual path. It's not the Course in Miracles, that's fine. It's not the only way to get it. This isn't the only way to get it. It's the way I got it. And I'll use it as long as it works. But you have to find something. Find something that's greater than your own ego to listen to. And I'll be speaking at an A Course in Miracles conference, international conference in February next year, 2009. And I'd love to have... You know, Gary and I, some other people are going to be there. Love to have a group to go. And in order to prepare us to go out into the world, for those who can handle it, I'd like for us on the count of three to do about 15 seconds of howling. 1, 2, 3. Howling!
then that's a sure sign of a cult if I ever did one. I'll see y'all next time. I love you. Love you. Thank you for coming. And sign the mailing list up front, too. If you haven't had a chance to sign the mailing list,